In our country, we oftentimes, this week has been set aside as a week where we give thanks. But what is interesting about this is oftentimes the gratitude that seems to be outwardly expressed seems to be involving simply physical things. We take a minute maybe to ask, what are you thankful for when we gather around our tables? But fundamentally, when everything is said and done, as children of God, we should both ourselves, as well as teaching this to our children, always be thankful to the Lord. And not simply wear a gratitude that you feel inwardly and that's about it. We see verbal expressions of gratitude being expressed to our Heavenly Father. And so it requires of us to, one, feel thankful, to have that gratitude within our hearts and within our mind, and then set aside a time to express our gratitude to the Lord. So we're going to spend a few simple minutes this morning looking at a very simple lesson in regards to being thankful to our Heavenly Father. Now, to start this, we're going to be looking at three examples in the Scriptures of where gratitude towards God is expressed. The first one takes us over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a case in point of King David. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And note with me here, beginning in verse 7, we're going to read down through verse 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. He says here, "On that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and of his brethren to thank the Lord." Here's what the psalm said. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous work which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones." And the psalm, of course, continues on through the chapter there. But it serves as a great example of where David set aside with intent and design of his heart to express in a psalm that would be later sung within the worship services of the tabernacle, of the temple, to compose a song of gratitude. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. He has done so many glorious things for us." For the children of Israel, David looked at all that God had done for him and for them, and not just during the current days of David, but going all the way back to Abraham, back to when they were the children of God were delivered out of the Egyptian captivity. But it is crucial, and it was crucial, and it still is, that God's people always remember what he has done and be grateful for that. A side note, in our Bible class in the back on building our spiritual foundations, we're currently in a lesson where we're looking at the history of the disobedience of God's people. And what's interesting about that particular study is that what we find is that obedience or faithfulness under God seemed to belong only to a generation. Okay, so mom and dad, you're supposed to teach the children of Israel, your children, all that God had done for you. Moses wrote that, Deuteronomy chapter 6. So from the time that Moses wrote that, in the plains of Moab, just before they went into the promised land, to them getting into the promised land, maybe 50 years later, a little bit shortly after that, after Joshua dies, we have a generation now, maybe 60 years later, maybe 70, that the people don't remember what God's done for them. How do you do that? How do you go a whole generation and the people not know what God has done for them? Well, you stop thanking the Lord for what he's done. When your children hear you express gratitude for what God has done, then they see a thread that is continuing in their life of where you were always showing them and telling them about all things that God has done. Not limited to the things within their own physical life, but you remember the time when he led his people out of the land of Egypt. We go back and we look at all that God has done. And this is what David does. He looks at the great and glorious works of God and gives thanks to Him and tells the people to glory in His holy name, to rejoice those who seek the Lord, to seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face evermore. And the more we express our gratitude within our hearts, within our minds, within our families, and within the congregation, the more we continue to sow that seed of remembrance so that our next generation will know what God has done for them. Let's look at another example of where gratitude is expressed. This is another song, a psalm of thanks. This is one that we read for the scripture reading and the one that Travis chose for the song before the sermon. Now, I'll tell you something about this. Travis asked me what I was going to be preaching on. I told him the general topic. And I sent him a verse that, here, you can look at this because I think there's a song based on it. It's what we read in 1 Chronicles. No, he didn't pick that one. He picked Psalm 118, which ended up being our script reading and what we're about to read now. So really, really appreciate that. Notice here in Psalm 118, and by the way, I appreciate it any time the song leaders, as they're building the songs, if it's able to overlap with the sermon, really appreciate the efforts behind that. But let's look at the first 9 verses here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Some of you remember our Psalm study. Go back about 2 chapters. We had a passage in Psalms where every other line was, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 2, let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. Now verse 5, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And of course, the psalm continues there. But we see a gratitude being expressed by the psalmist to the Father for all that the Father had done for him. And then the third one, and then we'll continue forward with the lesson. We jump forward in time to Ezra chapter 3. In Ezra chapter 3, we have the people of God that had returned from the Babylonian captivity. And they are gathered together. They are doing as the Lord has told them to do in the process of restoration, of getting everything built back to where it needed to be. I want you to note here what Ezra chapter 3, beginning there in verse 1, tells the people and what the people do in regards to all that God has done for them. Now, we won't read all of this because of the length of it, but just highlight a few points. In Ezra chapter 3, verse 1, and when the 7th month had come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. The Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its basis, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. Now let's jump down to verse 8. In the 2nd month of the 2nd year of the coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua the son of Jehozadak, and the rest of the brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with the sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God. Now we come forward to verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in the apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the obedience of King David and of Israel. You see all this in the imagery here. All this is being built up. Everything that God had told them to do, they had been doing, building up to that point of where the worship of God in the temple would once again be restored, and He would be restored to them, they would be restored to Him. And they see all this in verse 9, and they sang responsively, okay, in response to what is being said, praising and giving thanks to God. And here's what they said, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yes, it's the beginning. But now we have the foundation of the house of the Lord laid. They're able to offer sacrifices. They're able now to come and worship the Lord. And they said, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel and even towards us today. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. And this is part of the reason that we offer thanks unto the Lord, because of all that he's done for us. The temple we assemble together, and now it is the body of Christ. We as Christians, we are part of that temple of God. And so we come before our Heavenly Father. We boldly come before the throne of grace, as the Hebrew writer states, so that we can make our petitions known, so that we can bow down and worship him and offer to him the expressions of our gratitude and our thanks for everything that he has done. Now, if I was to ask you, what are the things for which you are thankful? Where would your mind first go to? Would it go to the physical blessings of your life, or would it go to the spiritual blessings of your life? Well, what is the most important? Of the two divisions there, of the things that we need within our life, what is most important? The physical things of this world or the spiritual needs of our souls? And the answer, of course, is we're going to begin with the spiritual needs that we have being fulfilled by God. All of our spiritual blessings come from God. Someone says, well, what spiritual blessings are you talking about? Well, let's start with, I don't want to say the most important, but the first one we're going to talk about, without this, we wouldn't be here today worshiping God. Without this, we would not be in fellowship with God. And that is the forgiveness of our sins. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the brethren in Ephesus, notice what he reminds them of in regards to the forgiveness of their sins. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's start reading there in verse 3. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, please do so. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Notice the great things that God has done for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think about that. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And he says here, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, he says, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purchased in himself, purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Last verse here. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And he continues. That's a whole lesson right there. Probably three lessons just in that passage alone. Looking at all the spiritual blessings, God sent Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary so that we could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be one with him, so that we'd have treasures, spiritual blessings, laid up for ourselves in the heavenly places. Every time we bow our heads in prayer, our heart should be filled with gratitude for the very fact that we can bow our heads in prayer and have every confidence that God will hear us because we are his people. Sometimes people may wonder in their lives, is God really hearing me? And I can understand that to one degree. Maybe you're facing a lot of challenges and you prayed about those things and they don't stop coming. They keep coming in your life. And for a moment we may say to ourselves, does God hear us? Listen, as a Christian, as a child of God, you're striving to serve the Lord, He hears our prayers. Because He has forgiven us of our past sins and added us to His body, to the body of Christ, we will live and walk in fellowship with Him. He hears our prayers. Even our prayers for forgiveness. We ask the Lord, please forgive us when we do sin. And when we have sinned, we ask Him. He hears our prayers. He is just and faithful. He will hear our prayers. But all of this is because of the wonderful blessing of the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. The Apostle Peter, he writes about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Note what he writes here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Before we became children of God, our souls, our spirits, we were lost. We were separated from God because of sin within our life. We were spiritually dead. But now we have the salvation of our souls. We have life. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 9, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Now think about that. Even when you're praying about these trials, they may still continue in your life. But don't give up. He says in verse 7, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the salvation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." That's what keeps us going. Even when we stumble and we fall, David fell very far. We pick ourselves back up. We turn back to God and ask Him to forgive us because the salvation of our souls. When Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross of Calvary, yes, He died so that all our past sins could be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But He also died so that if we as His children stumble and fall, we can turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us and our sins will be forgiven. John makes that point in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, he talks about the fact we should not sin, that we're walking in fellowship with God. But in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, I write these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, a propitiation for our sins." He came and He died upon the cross of Calvary, so that we can have the salvation of our souls. And as a result of that, we are receiving a kingdom. If you're trying to think to yourself, what should I thank the Lord today for? Here are some great suggestions. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 12, let's start in verse 25. We'll read down through verse 29. The Hebrew writer says, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if you did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven." Hebrews 12, 26. "Whose faith then shook the earth." Let me reread that. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this, "yet once more," indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So much more we could talk about in regards to that. And I guess we could cover many more spiritual blessings, but you get the point. The more we study the Scriptures, the more we are reminded of what God has done for us, the more things for which we are thankful. But what about the other side of the coin, our physical blessings? Should we be thankful to them? Absolutely. But understand, what we're about to read is more about our trusting the Lord than it is being thankful. But I think it would be a natural connection that we trust the Lord the Lord provides, we're obviously thankful for him. And things don't have to always go our way for the gratitude to be justified towards the Lord. But we do trust him. And in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, again, you've looked at this before, you've read it before. The writer here, not the writer, but Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, therefore I say to you, he says, do not worry about your life, where what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds in the air, and for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then let's jump down to verse 28. He talks about worrying. So why do you worry about clothing? Then he uses a great example of the lilies of the field and how that God clothes them. And a good point, verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But you get the point. We trust in the Lord, and the Lord provides. Does that mean that we will never go hungry? No. Does that mean that we will never go homeless? No, there may be difficult times within our lives. But we know that no matter what befalls us, the Lord is always there. He's always watching over us. And he will always be there for us and will never, ever neglect us. Yes, we have our daily food, we have our lives, we have our homes, we have all these physical blessings, but even if they were all gone tomorrow, the gratitude within our hearts still flows towards the Lord. Because the things that truly matter, he has provided for. The things that are temporary, he says, trust in him, and those things will be there. But never forget to bow down in prayer and thank him for all that he has done, for the daily food, for all that he has given us. And that kind of brings us real quickly to our next point. Here's a quick idea to share. We should consider, not just consider, we should always receive our food with thanksgiving. Now, there's two passages I think that is interesting here that kind of points in this direction. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Timothy, notice what he says. It's a very simple statement, very short statement, but yet it's something that we can take away from. 1 Timothy chapter 4, note with me there in verse 4. Paul writes to Timothy something very simple in the course of a greater context. He says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Like I said, the context is a little bit different. But still, it's the acknowledgement of the brethren giving the Lord thanks for what God has given them. Jesus did a number of times. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, he blessed the food. He gave thanks, that is to say, for the food. And Matthew 15, 36, the same thing. When it says that he blessed bread and broke it, it is the idea of thanking the Father for what he has been given, thanking him for that food. He set a great example for us. When we eat, let us receive our food with thanksgiving. And every time we pray, our prayers should be filled with thanksgiving. Let's look at about three different passages real quick, and then we'll pull the lesson to a close. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church in Colossae, notice here in Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 6 through 7 for just a moment. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. How do you receive a wealth of treasure, spiritual treasures, treasures in heaven, and not thank the Lord for what he has done? Chapter 4, verse 2 of Colossians. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I know there may be times it may be difficult to find something to be thankful for. But we have to broaden our scope, even in those moments of trials, because there are, I will say, an innumerable amount of things for which we are to be thankful. But sometimes we become laser focused on the problem at hand and we lose sight of what we should be thankful for. And so for those moments, take a step back and pray to God. And as he says here in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Just a few pages over in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, beginning of verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. I know, easier said than done. Certain times within our lives, much easier said than done. But it is what keeps us going so that we don't give up, so that we don't fall away from the Lord. And then one more passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2, back to Paul's letter to Timothy. He says in chapter 2, 1 Timothy verses 1 and 2, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Every time we pray, we need to always thank the Lord. And will it get redundant? Yes, at some point. But can you ever say that you thank the Lord too much for your children? Or for the life? For the faith? For Jesus who died upon the cross of Calvary? The answer is no. You can never thank the Lord too much for all that he has done. So what we need to do is always recognize everything that he's done. Take the time. Maybe if you're a poet, take the time to write down the blessings within your life. People talk about journaling, Bible journaling. If you can, take the time and write down the blessings within your life. And the next time you go to God in prayer and you're wondering, well, what should I be thankful for? Well, here's a nice 3-page list I made the other day. And always give thanks for his wonderful mercy. I said there was one more verse and we read it. There is one more verse now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus, listen clearly to what he says. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Again, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, there's a lot that you could be thankful for if you will submit unto the gospel's call unto salvation and have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. If you are not a child of God, let us teach you about him and about what he did, what Jesus did, so that you could be set free from your bondage unto sin. Let us teach you about being born again to walk in a new life, being dead in your trespasses and sins and now being made alive through Jesus Christ. The day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles told the people who asked the question, what shall we do? Their reply was to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to do that today, we can assist you with that. But you need to make that decision to believe, to repent, and be buried with Christ through baptism so you'll rise up and to walk in newness of life. If you are a Christian and you've not been living faithfully, could it be you've forgotten all the blessings that God has given to you because you've forgotten to give thanks to him? Come back to what he's done. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and resume the road of faithful fellowship with him and always being grateful and thankful for what he's done. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.